We're doing Avat Chesed. We're up to the 7th chapter, Perek Shvi'i, and we're nearing the end. The Chafetz Chaim is going to go off on a slight tangent here to explain the Psalm 41, in which David HaMelech speaks about Ashrei Maskil Eldal. Praised is he who thinks about the poor. Hinei bavush ha-chibur hazeh, the Chafetz Chaim says, being that this work that I've written, Na'avat Chesed, meyusad al pratei ofnei midat ha-chesed, basically what we've been discussing all year, is the details of how to do kindness. V'chad inyanahu im hakra, and it's really one topic with the verse, Ashrei maskil eldal, praised is he who thinks about the poor. Amalti levaro, I said to myself, now as we near the end, I'll explain this verse, ki yad Hashem atova alai, as God blesses me. K'tiv baka. The verse says, Ashrei maskil eldal, praised is he who gives thought about the poor. B'yom ra'ayim alateu Hashem. When a bad day comes, Hashem will grant him an escape. Hinei ha'askala eldal yesh b'chama panim. There are a few ways in which one can think about the poor. Dinei shem dal, when we use the word dal to describe someone poor, hu shayach b'kama dvarim. Poor could be in a few areas. Poverty can be expressed. Echad b'mamon, the obvious is in money, there's poverty. V'al yedei zeh shu dal b'mamon matzui shechaser lo mikol hadvarim ha'ikariyim sheshayach la'adam. And when a person is lacking in monetary wealth, so then it's pretty commonplace that he's also lacking in many of the basic necessities that man has. V'achila, beged bayit, it could be in regards to food, it could be in regards to clothing, it could be in regards to housing. V'al zeh tzrich la'askilu li'itbanin odotav b'chol ha'shlosha. So you have to think about the poor and take care of him in these three areas. Haynu shelo yechsar lo achilato. You have to make sure, firstly, that the guy isn't missing food. V'u ma shekatuv, that's what the verse says. V'tafek la'rayv nafshecha. V'gam lechasot ha'arom. It also includes giving clothing to people who don't have. V'u ma shekatuv, as the verse says, ki tira arom v'chisito. The verse says, clothe the person who's naked. V'gam niskolo beitira. It also means to help a person rent an apartment. U'kmosh nifsak, and as the Talmud as the Codex in Yoredeya and the laws of Tzedakah rules, v'imurech, or let's say someone's a guest, liten lo makom lelinat laida, to give him a place to rest. This does not include Machon Meir, by the way. Machon Meir is an institution. You see someone who needs a place to sleep, you got to run it by the heads here. I can't either take in someone to sleep. Very often people have good intentions. But sometimes a person can bring into the machon someone who they mean well, but the guy happens to be very, very problematic and he robs everyone blind or worse. V'kainyan shekatuv, or as the verse says, b'chutz lo elin gel, don't let a person sleep outside. So again, this isn't our private house. We can't let someone in without permission. But when we do own a private house, then we should take care of people under normal circumstances. We had one Friday night that suddenly there's a knock on the door. And a woman and her daughter are standing outside. And they say, you know, we got stuck here. It's Shabbos. And we were here in a hospital. And we need a place to sleep. And I said, that's very interesting. Do you have any ID? Oh, no. I said, how does the hospital let you in without ID? Hospitals also insist on ID. Can I see the hospital papers? Oh, no. Suddenly, the story starts unraveling. So I said, well, it is cold outside. And I said to my wife, maybe you have a sweater or something you don't use because we're not letting these people stay here overnight. And my wife was shocked. We were newly married. We were married 2 years, 3 years. And my wife is looking at me like, how could you let this woman and her daughter stay out in the cold? And I said, you don't know them. You know that they're not murderers? You're letting someone into your house. What do you know who they are? I said, no, they're not. And I told my wife, one of us is going to be with them every second they're in this house. They cannot stay in the house for 1 second, even as we're getting them a sweater, without someone being next to them. And later on we found out they were professional con artists. They had robbed people blind. Time and again they played this game, and they slept the night at someone's house. And then when they'd go to shul in the morning, they'd say, we're not feeling so well, the people would go to shul. They'd clear the house of all the jewelry and all the silverware, and this was a thing they played. So they did it throughout Jerusalem. Became famous after they did it numerous times. I'm not even sure if they were Jewish or not. Maybe they were. It doesn't matter. You know, if the person's honest, then he's not Jewish, so then it's a good thing to help a person. People can be rough. You know, if someone needs help, it's good to help a person. But it has to be real, and you have to do it intelligently. You got to be careful and protect yourself. So, yes, there is this important mitzvah. We have to think how we do it and how we help people and how we do give people a roof over their heads and help them. I personally like the organizations that do this. The reason I gave you the example of the Machon is because about 7-8 months ago, we were having a late night Thursday night, and some guys came running in, and they said, there's this woman out here that she was out in the gas station. She says her husband beats her. She's got nowhere to spend the night. Can she spend the night in the Machon? So I said, no, women can't spend the night in the Machon, but if her story is the way you say, so then we should get her other help. And there are places that will take a woman in such a situation and get her the legal help she needs and the psychological help she needs. And no, she doesn't want any of that. Okay, she's entitled not to want any of that, but to come crashing on a boy's yeshiva and say she should sleep there because you met her in a gas station, that's not the solution. There are other solutions. We could call the police. They could give her a place to sleep. You know, there are other places she can sleep. I'm saying this is an important mitzvah. It has to be done. It has to be done intelligently and responsibly. You can't endanger your family or other things because you want to do this mitzvah. So, yes, there are times. Right now, there are families in the south that would love to have a place to stay in the north. Great. You want to take someone in? Great. I still would recommend getting your jewelry hidden and stuff because you never know who you're taking in. There's no reason to trust someone with your assets. But it's definitely a nice thing to do chesed and let people in and let people sleep by you. All of this has to be done intelligently. If you have little children, you have to keep an eye on them. You never know which people have which tendencies. So yes, a person has to be kind, and yes, a person also has to be intelligent and responsible. Yes?
No, I was just thinking like how if it was like Shabbat, the person might not have like ID on them or something like that.
Might not have ID. Right, that's what they said. They said it's Shabbos. I said it's Friday night. You said you were just in the hospital. Okay. So that's not a good excuse, right?
The hospital, you knew. Like,
they're coming Friday night. Why don't they have ID? Ordinarily, you come to hospital, you have to give ID. You should have hospital release papers. They don't have that either. Saying, the story didn't add up. How many times do people come to his door and say their son's having a bar mitzvah in 2 days, they need money? And I say, can I see his name on your tudat zehut? I want to see it at his birthday. You know, you're telling me you need money for tefillin. I'll call a scribe, go with your son, and I'll arrange for you tefillin. Ah, no, suddenly that's not the case. Okay. You want to give money, you can give money. You want to believe a person that the story is such and such, go check. Again, if it's only giving money, it's a question of whether you did a mitzvah or not. But if it's taking someone into your home, it could be a question of other things. The Talmud says, when a person comes to town and he's got nothing on him and he needs financial assistance and he needs a place to sleep, so then you should help him with funding a place for him to sleep. Give him the food he needs to sleep also. Give him a bed. Give him a blanket. Give him what he needs. So this is all a part of charity, and it's an important part of charity. I'm just saying, do it intelligently and responsibly. So he said, when we speak about a poor person, so the first type of poverty is poverty in money. So then there are three primary places where that affects a person, and you have to take note. You have to think about those three needs. Now, we had a student here at the Machon, this goes back a decade ago, who discussed with me how he's allowed to bake bread at home. Why is he baking bread at home? Because he has no money, so he buys flour and his wife bakes bread. How does he bake bread at home? He has a little pan, he makes a fire, he bakes bread. So I sat him down and I said, wait a second, it's the winter. Do your kids have clothing? Do you have sweaters? Well, we have this and that. Do they have beds? Well, they all sleep on the floor together. I'm telling you a true story from here, Machon Meir. So we put together beds for the guy. We put together mattresses for the kids. We put together a normal stove that they could bake in. Yes, this is, Chazal say, you want to take care of a poor person. So Chafetz Chaim says, if he's poor in money, you got to think of three things. Housing, clothing, food. Okay? That's a starting point. Yes?
You said it very well. Then there's also the fact that sometimes you don't know if they're going to spend money on those things.
Right.
So in fact, many times, I mean, at least where I'm not living, you have the idea that they must be simply owing the money. I mean, they might have borrowed it, they might be using it on drugs, they might be using it on alcohol.
Agreed.
They might be using it on who knows what, candy, cake, or something, but not really the stuff they need.
Agreed. That's why it's very often better to give a person the things they need. Sometimes, 100%. More than that, we've been discussing, as we've been learning the Sefer, that sometimes by channeling the assistance, you could help a person get out of the state of destitute. Sometimes you can tell a person, look, if I give you money today, you'll need money again tomorrow. I'm not willing to give you money, but I am willing to go with you 50-50 on paying for a course where you'll have where you'll get an education. That's why I have a gemach like that, that helps people get educated in a field, get training to do something that'll make money. Very often a guy makes aliyah and he doesn't have the certification to work here in Israel. And he doesn't have the financial capacity to get that certification. So sometimes you give a person a loan. You tell them you could pay over 3 years. Then a person can get settled. Sometimes people need a computer. You know, a person needs a computer to search for a job or things of that sort. So there are gemachs. There are organizations that will lend a computer to help a person find a job. Gemach is an acronym. Gemilut Chesed. Organization for doing kindness. So we said when it comes to monetary poverty, that's the angle where those are the three angles we have to think about. As Jacob just pointed out, in these three avenues, you have to actually think about it to ensure that it happens correctly. Sometimes you give the guy money, he's going to use it to pay something else, he's going to use it to pay off a friend or some other need, and he won't buy the food his children need, he won't buy the clothing his children need, he won't pay his rent and he'll find himself out on the street. You have to think about how you help a person. Sometimes it's better to lend money, sometimes it's better to give it as a gift. So you have to think how you're going to help the guy most. Sometimes it's important to give the guy the money when the food is cheap. We arrange donations for the poor in Kochav Yaakov for Pesach. So we put together the money 2 months before Pesach because we know that many times the price of goods that are kosher for Passover goes up the last 3 weeks before Passover. When everyone buys it, supply and demand, the price goes up. The same coffee that was kosher for Passover a month earlier cost 10 shekel less. And sometimes the differences can be astronomical. So we put together the money when there was a big sale a month and a half before Passover, and we called the people who we knew were having a hard time financially, and we said, here, you can have, we will cover, give you a credit in this store that's having a big sale this week, and buy the food you need for Passover, because now the food is cheap. So that's what he says. Give it thought. Sometimes you got to give him the money when the food is cheap. When you give him a gift, try to think through how to do it in a way that he'll benefit from it right away. Sometimes you want to donate clothing. If you invest a little bit more thought and launder it and iron it, then the person who receives the clothing will be able to wear them right away. And the person might need it right away for a job interview, or he might want to take it because he'll think it's a nice shirt. Whereas if you see the same shirt, it could be a $50 shirt, but it's all creased. You don't feel like taking it. Or, no, if you give him patafuya, sometimes it's better to give him baked bread than to give him flour. Sometimes it involves going over to his house and bringing him the thing. So this is the first idea of poverty and the first idea of how we're supposed to think about how we help the poor. There's poverty in monetary wealth and the thought involved in how to assist the person as best as possible. So,